everybody. Do we have a roll call, please?
Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chairman.
Here.
Director Vance.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez. Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Towns.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
Do we have a forum?
Thank you very much. We're going to start this morning with the presentation of the art contestant winners. We've taken our pictures outside, but this is the formal part. I'm sorry, Christy has a cold, very bad cold today, so she's not going to be here. She would be doing this instead of me, so forgive me if I mess it up. And I want to commend her for being very mature and not coming in and giving us all cold. Had I been in her place, I would have come in and then you all would have been angry at me. So let me go up to the podium to do this formally. So I'm Paula Wolf and I'm chair of the Tollway Board. And this past Monday, our nation paid tribute to our veterans, the brave men and women who have wear the uniform of our country, their country, first. The honor which they live and serve for us and live their lives are the example for all of us and commands us to remember the service to others and service to the greater cause, to the noblest virtue we can have, and that's patriotism and love of our country. We're proud to have a governor in Illinois, Governor Pat Quinn, who works tirelessly to ensure that veterans and their families have support and shown respect that they deserve and always remembered by the people of Illinois. While Governor Quinn has led the state the charge on countless initiatives benefiting men and women in uniform, as you remember back in 2007, he was one of the people who spearheaded the effort to rename one of our roadways, I-355, to the Veterans Memorial Tollway. And he's continued to do that. I know he goes to many services for veterans and is very involved in the activities of the veterans organizations in the state. He's always remembering and always honoring the people who serve our country. And we want to thank him for his support. He also, by the way, told me when he asked me to take this job to be sure that veterans got hired as people at the Tollway. And I think the Tollway has paid attention to that and we've been very diligent about that. And as we continue to look at new ways to honor our veterans this year, we decided to ask the high school students to use their talents to create a visual tribute to our heroes. And as part of the 2013 Illinois Tollway Map Cover Art Contest, we received 57 very impressive designs from our high school students following the theme, Remembering Our Veterans. These beautiful pieces of art and the sentiment behind them will continue to live on after today. And I want to thank the students who are here, but also all the students who participated in this contest for taking seriously the importance of this and putting so much time, diligence, and energy into honoring our veterans. I'm pleased to announce the Tollway plans to place all the pieces of art up for auction with the proceeds going to serving the veterans' charities. I'm all for the noise in the background. I think it's great. Don't try to have that child be quiet. I need all the help I can get. Little distraction is very useful. The top 10 entries were displayed on our website and at each of the Tollway 7 oases for the public to view and to vote on. And more than 11,400 public votes were cast online. 11,400 people voted. That's fabulous. The top four finalists were then reviewed by a panel which included veterans who work at the Tollways and the contest sponsors and the Tollway Board of Directors. We were encouraged many times to vote, but to vote only once. Today we're honored to have with us the top four finalists, their families, and their teachers. We would like to thank them and all of the students who participated in the contest for the time they spent and their using their talents, their creativities to remind us that we must always remember and honor our veterans. And as we said to the students earlier, we really appreciate their willingness to put themselves out to be judged. This is not an easy thing to do for adults or for students, and it really is, I think, the beginning of a kind of skill that will help them throughout their careers, being willing to help participate in a process as important as this, but also be individually judged on their creativity. So I want to ask the partners who have joined with us to come up and stand here. And I would like to thank them, the sponsors of the 2000, this is all so beautifully choreographed. The sponsors of the 2013 Illinois Tollway Map Contest, U.S. Equities and Blick Art Materials, who are here with us today. Richard Jacobson, Blick Art Materials Officer of Highland Park Administration and Professional Development. And Richard told me earlier that a lot of the contestants came through the stores.
We had posters in the stores promoting the contest.
That's fabulous. And Cindy Abronek, who's the U.S. Equities Senior Vice President Manager, and David Miles, who's the U.S. Equities Vice President, and they're the people who so ably run our OACs, to whom we are enormously grateful. So I want to give them a round of applause. Our grand prize winner will not only have his or her artwork featured on the cover of our 2013 map, which is distributed to more than 125,000 customers, but he or she will join the rest of our finalists in receiving gift certificates from Blick Art Materials and the Oasis tenants. The grand prize winner will receive a $400 gift certificate from Blick Art Materials and $200 in gift certificate from U.S. Equities to use at the Oasis retail shops. Don't use it all on that machine that goes like this. And the runners-up will receive a $200 gift certificate from Blick Art Materials and $100 in gift certificates from U.S. Equities. And additionally, all the students who participated in the contest will receive a certificate of appreciation. Remember to include it in your college application portfolio. The semifinalists will be featured in the 2012 annual report that the Tollway puts out. Now, for the moment we've all been waiting for, the winner of the 2013 Illinois Tollway Map Cover Contest is, drum roll, Abby Friedman from Highland Park. Your bag of goodies, and this is your gift certificate. They weren't planning to have you say anything, but I'm happy to have you say something if you would like to. You don't have to.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay. And our runners-up include Michael Berrios from Vicar J. Andrew High School in Tinley Park. No, okay, that's good.
You all? Well done.
And Andrew Kaufman of Highland Park High School. And Veronica Severini from Glenbard East High School. No, okay.
Congratulations.
We also just want to acknowledge the families and the teachers who work so hard to support these students. You should be very, very proud of them. We're extremely pleased. We will refer everybody we know to our website to be able to look at this. If any of us have connections in the commercial art world, we want to make sure that they keep their eye on these students and the art teachers as well. So thank you all very much. We appreciate our sponsors. And does any of you want to say anything? Richard, do you want to say anything? Okay, good. Thank you very much. The work of the Tollway staff who helped put this together, and thank them as well. not been notified that there's anyone here who would like to make a public comment, but if there is, he or she could make him or herself known at this time. Nope? Okay. Then what I'd like to do is move to the chair's report and ask for approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting and the executive session on October 25th.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Anybody want to recuse him or herself or abstain? Okay. So then we'll turn to board committee reports. We'll start with Director Peterson and the Finance Administration and Operations.
Okay. Committee met yesterday morning, and also we wanted to let everybody know that we had the hearings and the public open house last night at the Oasis. It was attended by quite a few people. We had about 12 people that actually signed in, but in addition to that, we had staff there, Paul Kovacs and staff, and Mike was there, and Director Reddick was there. Captain Press and a couple of his officers there also. It was well attended by everybody, and staff included, and they answered quite a few questions, a lot of general questions regarding IPAS, regarding Move Illinois. A lot of people looked at some of the different interchanges they're working on, so it was well attended and well done by staff on both Tuesday night and Wednesday night. So I want to give that update. The Finance Committee again met yesterday morning. Finance presented the quarterly financial review for the third quarter and the bond financing. Mike Kelch will give another review of that today during our meeting. Procurement presented 5 items approved by the committee. 2 were invitations for bid. 1 was awarded to Mechanical Systems for the purchase of a fire alarm inspection and repairs for 1 year. Another one was treatment and recycling for the purchase of hazardous waste and transportation and disposal services. There were 2 RFPs that were approved. 1 was for Alert IT Solutions pre-employment screening services. The other was Crow Horwath for purchase of financial statement preparation software. There was 1 emergency contract awarded to Craftco for purchase of asphalt crack sealant for the fall before, although we did see snow this week, so hopefully we'll be able to crack seal soon. Engineering presented 4 items that were presented. They will be presented on today's consent agenda. 3 were professional service contracts. A total of about $31 million, $9.3 million were DBE commitments. Also noted there was a mentor protege agreement. There was a joint venture that included a prime consultant that is a DBE certified Sang & Associates, I believe, Paul. There were 2 new DBE sub-consultants, Dar Engineering and Robino Engineering. In addition, there was a change order that was presented that associated with work at I-90 and 47. Contract change was required to relocate some sanitary sewer that is in conflict with ramp construction. There was also some shared costs with the local municipality, and it basically was approved. Legal presented 5 items for consent agenda. 4 of those 5 items were for the intergovernmental agreement and an amendment to the traffic.com system that we have on the tollway, and then item 6 on legal is deferred to exec for today. Thank you.
And there was a review of the quarterly financials that were done under the executive director.
Yeah, so Mike, do that again.
Great. Okay, thank you. I think the other committee that met was the customer service committee.
We did. On November 8th, the customer service committee met. We went through our current work plan and status of the same. One of the things that we discussed were settlement guidelines, and committee directed staff to take a look at and put together a proposal for a revised program of our settlement guidelines that's going to provide a little bit more flexibility in our ability to resolve outstanding issues in reportable disputes. From our last committee meeting, we had talked to staff about seeking input from our customers as it relates to feedback transponders. They put that up on the internet, and within a week, I think, or so, we got 70,000 responses. Overwhelmingly, 85% of those responding said that they would be interested in the feedback transponders, and we are looking at that. The interesting thing is, of that percentage, 20%, only 20% would be interested in paying some type of a cost for it. So. I think my wife may have taken the survey. So we're talking a little bit about what that means as far as us operationally, and staff's taking a look at what exactly the costs are going to be for the up costs that would be we'd incur in dealing with these feedback transponders. From the feedback transponder itself, we noted that EasyPass has finished their testing where he's finishing their testing right now of the actual device. Our tollway is now taking it, and we'll be doing our own set of testing, you know, checking the status of it and the reliability. And one of the things that we talked about is making sure that whatever system we go down, that we're maximizing interoperability and not painting ourselves into a corner on that. So,
can you, since it took me a long time to figure out interoperability, could you explain why that's an important thing in terms of the feedback?
Well, there's two issues with it. Number one, in the transportation bill, there's a requirement that we should be seeking interoperability with other toll systems on the electronic toll devices. So outside of Illinois into all of the other tolling agencies that are out there. Obviously the significance is, as nationally we're moving down that road, we're viewing the landscape, making sure that we're not kind of the pioneers going one direction when everything else is going the other, and we make this investment in a technology that's not going to move us towards that.
And if I understand the technology correctly, and maybe you can explain this if I'm getting it wrong, there's a question of how much bandwidth can the system hold. So if we do responding transponders, that's not the right term.
Beeping transponders,
we may, if there's a different kind of interoperability, we may be crowding out what else we can do with them.
With our existing technology vendor, CAPTCH, right now it seems as if we might have to make a choice between having readers in the lane that would allow transponders to beep and readers in the lane that would read transponders from non-easy pass organizations. And we think that, and CAPTCH is working with us, we think that we will be able to have our cake and eat it too, and actually get them to proactively combine those technologies for us. But it's a process that we need to make sure we go through before we invest, as Director Reddick said, in one or the other.
Thank you. So it's not quite as easy as...
Not quite as easy as buying new transponders.
To that end, we've talked a while. We've been pushing out this back office RFP. And I'm happy to announce that on November the 8th, it actually went out. Thank the staff for their diligence and persistence and jumping through all the hoops that were necessary to make that happen. Today, we have one item that was passed through committee to the board, item 6.1, and that's the contract with IGOR, and that's the retail distribution contract for the packaging and distribution to our 180 or so retail locations. For the transponder transactions. And finally, we did go live on the internet on November the 5th with our dispute resolution form, which we anticipate will allow our customers to deal with and resolve over 90% of the issues that we have in potential disputes regarding violations. So
it's really good.
Yes.
Thank you. Any questions for Director Reddick? Neither the Audit Committee nor the Strategic Planning Committee had a scheduled meeting. Is there anything you want to comment on?
Just briefly for the Strategic Planning Committee, what I can say is we did not have a meeting, as you reported, but the cost-sharing policy for interchanges is now in place. We can accomplish that, and we think it's a good policy. We have been in discussion about 120-53 project, as well as the West Bypass, O'Hare West Bypass project. The bulletin, I think, has just been published seeking services there that will help to refine scopes, I think, and also refine cost issues as well. So that's moving forward as we speak.
Good. Thank you. The only additional thing I would say, and I mentioned this briefly at our last board meeting, is that we did have another meeting with our financial advisors to talk a little bit about timing on going into the market, which I think maybe Mike is there going to be, are you going to be including just for either Mike the schedule of that you had anticipated?
The bonding schedule?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, just briefly, if you could talk about it, that would be great. And we also talked about what kind of instruments we might use to go out into the market. We're still at a preliminary stage, but in December, I think we'll be able to have a report for the entire board and a discussion on that. And it's very reassuring to see that Mike and Bill speak bond language back to our financial advisors. We're all talking about, I think, the same script, but we'll hear more about that in December. Okay? Mike is going to be Christie?
Yes, I will be Christie for the morning. First off, to introduce Mike Kaus, Chief of Finance, to give the quarterly financial review, highlight of which is that total revenues continue to track fairly close to budget. So, Mike?
All right, thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I think you'll see from these results that we go through this morning that they're consistent with the discussion we had last month with respect to our 2013 tentative budget. We had spent some time reviewing, a little bit of time reviewing 2012 in terms of our estimates for the year for toll revenue. This first slide is a recap of a summary of the 2012 budget. $973 million was budgeted for revenue for 2012, and we allocated that $268 million for maintenance and operations, $10 million for an operating reserve, and debt service and deposits to renewal and replacement to comprise the total of $973 million. Year to date, so this is information that runs from January through September, actually. Year to date means through the first three quarters. Toll revenue continues to be above our revenue projection through the first three quarters, $2.8 million, or about 0.4% greater than what was budgeted at the start of the year. That is the case despite IPAS participation rates increasing even more than we had anticipated. We had anticipated about 84.5% IPAS participation rate. It's actually about 86.1% for the first three quarters. We were able to achieve that in terms of additional revenue due to two factors. The first factor is that the reduction in passenger vehicle traffic was less than what was anticipated at the start of the year. So actually about 3.7%. I think CDM Smith forecast 5.9% for the year. And commercial vehicle traffic also continues to perform or perform slightly above estimates for the first three quarters. Evasion recovery was less than budgeted, about $12.1 million. If you recall, much of that is due to an accounting change that our auditors suggested we make and moving from an accrual basis for counting evasion recovery to a cash basis. That accounted for $8.7 million of that shortfall, so to speak, which really wasn't reflective of any economic activity or cash collections, but just reflective of an accounting change. And again, that's a one-time change that will occur in 2012. The rest of the evasion recovery difference, we believe, is a timing issue. In fact, late September, all of October, early part of November is coming in. The cash collections are coming in at a higher rate than we'd seen previously in the year, and that has in part due to the summer months. There are typically a few more violation events that occur during the summer months. Maintenance and operations is about $14.3 million below budget for the first three quarters, and we'll talk a little bit more about that on the next couple of slides. And the capital program, $193.7 million below what we budgeted at the start of the year, but tracking fairly close to what our revised estimate was last month when we prepared the 2013 tentative budget. We also revised our estimate for how much we thought we'd spend on capital in 2012. And I think many of you know that most of that relates to scheduling issues related to procurement challenges that we've experienced at the start of the program. So, numerically, what does that mean in total? Again, about 10.4 million less in revenue through the first three quarters. Toll revenue being up, evasion recovery being down because of the accounting adjustment. And then the other sources being very close to estimate. We do expect miscellaneous revenue to be a little higher in the fourth quarter, so hopefully we will make up a little bit of that negative variance. With respect to the maintenance and operations budget, quite significantly below budget for the first three quarters, about 7%. Much of that is payroll and related costs and other personnel related costs, for example, group insurance. That's really a reflection of a larger number of vacant positions throughout the year than we had planned for. Contractual services are $2.4 million less than budgeted through the first three quarters. Most of that relates to less costs in business systems, lower credit card fees, lower customer call center costs, as well as some lower costs associated with image review. Now, with the fact that we have some additional violation notices or a slight increase in the number of violation notices in recent months, some of that variance may go away, but most of it we think will result in lower costs throughout the year. Materials, operating supplies, and other expenses were also down a little over $3 million. Much of that is related to the timing of salt and winter materials purchases. We had expected many purchases to occur in the third quarter. That's actually now occurred in the fourth quarter. We will be purchasing a little less in winter materials than we had anticipated at the start of the year because we had a mild spring early winter, January and February, so we had a larger stocks of these materials going into the fall months than what we had planned it last year. And finally, other insurance, that's really workers' compensation. We had an actuary that did a review of the sufficiency of our reserves for workers' compensation. The actuary determined that we had a larger amount of reserves for some prior year claims than what we would need, so we were able to put less into the workers' compensation reserve than what we had budgeted. The capital program expenditures, if you look at the light green line, $173 million less than we budgeted at the start of the year. Again, much of that related to procurement challenges and scheduling delays related to that. We did have a couple of areas where we made scope changes to projects, I think particularly on the Tri-State Tollway. We moved from doing a reconstruct of a part of the Central Tri-State to a rehabilitation, in large part because with the Move Illinois program, we rescheduled that reconstruction. I don't know if you wanted to add, Paul, that we now intend to do a reconstruction of it later on, that we thought we could do another rehab and get several more years life out of that section of the Tri-State. And then there were some cost savings associated with the bids.
Paul, did you want to comment on the
Tri-State? Mike covered it. I mean, a lot of our design work was already in progress when we had Move Illinois approved, and we didn't have, we made some last minute adjustments to account for the reconstruction. Similar to the work we had on 90 last year, it doesn't seem, you know, the best way to use our resources, you know, paying to fix up something perfectly when we're going to be right back out there again in the near future. So we tried to do, you know, the minimum that was necessary, you know, to make sure that the driving surface was going to be smooth and solid until we go in there and do the larger improvement.
So I may have gotten that slightly wrong. The scope of the rehabilitation was a little less as opposed to a rehabilitation versus a reconstruct.
That's
right?
Correct. Yeah. We don't have to. The Tri-State was not planning to be reconstructed, but we had a much larger rehabilitation plan, and we don't need to do as much now because we know the next round will be a reconstruction.
Thank you for clarifying that, Paul. We did collect about $20 million of reimbursements through intergovernmental agreements. In our budget, we took a conservative approach in that we didn't plan, we didn't budget for the reimbursements. We knew we had those agreements. We knew that if the if we collected those reimbursements, that that would have a positive impact on our capital program, our financial plan. So we did receive $20 million in reimbursements for projects that we are doing jointly with DOT and local agencies. If we look at the third quarter alone, third quarter revenue was down about $7.2 million from what was estimated at the start of the year. Toll revenue, this was a quarter where toll revenue was actually down about $3.2 million. Evasion recovery was down about $4.1 million. Toll revenue was down, we believe, primarily because commercial vehicle traffic grew, but it didn't grow as much as what we had anticipated at the start of the year. And we attribute that in part to a slow-growing economy and in part to a lot of the rehabilitation work that is being done on the central tri-state. Looks like it's moved some of our traffic, some of the commercial vehicle traffic off of the system. With respect to maintenance and operations, essentially every category was under budget with the exception of parts and fuel. Fuel costs have increased slightly. We are using more E85 fuel. We have installed some new tanks, a new underground storage tanks, right, for fuel. We're filling those in preparation for the winter, so that accounts for that variance in fuel.
Mike, I think one of the questions that came up at the committee was what the headcount is now.
I believe that we have about 150, is that correct? About 130 vacancies. Typically, you would expect about 5% vacant positions, which would be closer to 75. So, you know, you can see there's about 60 positions lower than what we would anticipate having at any one time.
Thank you.
And for the capital program, $121 million less than budgeted at the start of the year, and then $17 million in reimbursements. One other point I'd like to make, recall that in the 2013 tentative budget, we have already adjusted in our financial plan the capital program expenses for 2012 down from 592, which we budgeted at the start of the year, to 415. So that's a difference of about $180 million. So the lower spending on the capital program through the first three quarters is now already reflected in our financial plan for 2012 and 2013 going forward. So we do expect to spend in the fourth quarter about as much as we had planned at the start of the year for the fourth quarter alone.
Can we talk for a minute about the $84 million in scheduling changes? That means because procurement has been slower, we're moving that out, we're not doing it?
Yeah, because of some of the procurement delays, some of the actual construction jobs got pushed. We got a later start on some of our jobs also due to some right-of-way restrictions. And, that's primarily the schedule impacts.
And are you seeing any changes now in the level the bids are coming in? I know originally we were getting pretty good reactive responses, but our concerns have been that if these delays kept going, that we might experience some economic catch-up and competition from other capital projects around the state or the country, and the bids would start going up. Is it too early to do that?
It's too early to say. We're not seeing it yet, that's for sure. I think Mike mentioned there was some bid savings, you know, that explains why we had a capital shortfall this year, and we attribute that to be about $38 million of that shortfall, so it was pretty significant. We have some large contracts that are advertised right now to start our work on I-90 in the western section. There's about six contracts there. Those will give us a much better idea, I think, on how competitive the marketplace is going to be and what kind of bids we're going to get.
Good.
I don't think we're going to need to worry about the, a lot of competition if IDOT's budget isn't adjusted. It goes from almost $1.4 billion this year to $700 million next year because of the ending of the capital project. We'll try to get some
competition. Thank you. We appreciate that.
What we are seeing, we've had a lot of, at our level with the union, a lot of inquiries from some national companies that haven't been in this market before. Lane construction, granite construction, people like that, who are looking at this as an opportunity to come in. So you might see that competition continue to keep a lid on inflation.
That would be good. Yeah, you know, in our program management office is doing a little outreach and seeing how things are going. And it looks like, you know, a lot of people are interested in bidding our jobs, just like you mentioned. So, you know, we feel pretty good about the competition.
Thank you.
As a result of both operations and capital spending being under what we had anticipated at the start of the year, we have seen fund balances increase. Maintenance and operations fund balances increased from 26 to 44 million. Part of that is due to the fact that we planned to put additional funds into an operating reserve. As you can see, that's increased from 9 to 19 million. Renewal and replacement and improvement accounts are the areas where you can see that less capital spending has resulted in increased fund balances, but that's important because those are resources that we plan to use in 2013 and 2014 as we proceed with some bigger years of capital spending. That's any questions?
Director Peterson, do you want to make any comments on the budget? I know you had gone over it in detail in the
committee. Yeah, no, I'm thinking forward to 2013 some of the different things we talked about as far as the construction cycle and how it's going to impact traffic, and there'll be we lost some revenues on the commercial side because of the lane closures, and I was wondering if we have an aggressive schedule going into 2013. I think our consultants have taken that into consideration with the 2013 budget, as well as, you know, looking at the bonding and how the, I guess, the financial cliff, this fiscal cliff we're looking at possibly within the next 7 weeks, whether it happens or not, what the impact is in the bond market when we go out in January, and what the impact is on rates. And also on how it affects the economy, too, as far as the patrons who use the tollway commercial and vehicular traffic, how that impacts the traffic counts there too. So I know we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I don't know if you want to talk now about the bond financing.
To make the point explicit, we need cash to pay as we're doing the construction, and part of the timing is when how quickly we get these projects out and get them started affect how much cash we have on hand. So that leads us to the question of when do the auto market sell bonds get more cash. So
we, yesterday we had the opportunity to present a brief outline of a schedule for our financing plan for 2013. As you recall, we had, we have planned for the issuance of as much as $1 billion in bonds in 2013, about half of which we'll use on 2013 projects, and about $500 million or so that we'll have available to start 2014. So the plan was to issue about half of the bonds in the beginning of the year and about half of the bonds at the end of the year. in order to meet that schedule, we're really trying to target next month as the time to seek board authorization for at least the first transaction, as well as a discussion on the ability or the possibility of hedging some future costs of our capital program. With respect to some of the challenges that we're facing right now, similar to the capital program, we're facing some procurement challenges. We have been able to get or retain a financial advisor, PFM, that we met with yesterday. We also have some transactional financial advisors that will serve specifically on individual transactions that we are proceeding with in terms of, I think the award has been made and posted. We're working on the contract, so we believe we will have those in place. Counsel and underwriters, we do need to reach agreements with, get approvals with CMS, the Chief Procurement Office, and the Procurement Policy Board. And those outside approvals are key to get moving forward with bond counsel and underwriters, who we need as a part of this financing team. Most critical, I would say, would be getting counsel on board, because they'll help us with some of the legal issues associated with how we can proceed and structure with the transaction, but also what kinds of products we can use with respect to the hedging. So John's not here today, but we're working very closely with John to try to move those procurements forward so that we can recommend teams to the board next month. Other activities that would occur in December and early January include receiving reports from our consultants, from the traffic engineer and the general consulting engineer. I think those are on track. We expect to be able to receive those in a timely fashion. We've started some brief outreach to the rating agencies, and would expect to have formal meetings with the rating agencies in December or early January. As you can see from the schedule, other activities would include bond documentation and structuring the financing and marketing of the bonds. We would like to target toward the end of January with a closing in early February. We were discussing this yesterday. February 4th might be a little precise in terms of when we have to close to get the money, but sometime in the first half of February is what we would be targeting. And again, request expected at the December meeting. We do have an existing authorization to refund some synthetic fixed rate bonds that we currently have outstanding. The reason we would refund those synthetic fixed rate bonds is to have less reliance upon some of the banks that are providing liquidity or credit support for those variable rate bonds that we have. That's important because changes at the federal level with respect to the Dodd-Frank Act have resulted in the costs of those products, particularly beginning in January of 2015, going up. The requirements with respect to how much capital they need to maintain in reserve and so forth have changed, and therefore those products will become more expensive. We're looking for opportunities to change from a variable rate, which is synthetically fixed through a swap. We're looking to change that to a traditional fixed rate bond at as low a cost as possible. So what we would be seeking is authorization to extend that refunding approval for another year so that the market is appropriate, we could move forward. As I mentioned earlier, approve counsels and underwriters, and also discuss hedging additional portions of our capital program. Again, the tollway will work with our financial advisor to determine the optional structure. The senior underwriter and the underwriting group will help us in the pricing and technical aspects of how we apply coupons and pricing to the bonds. Current expectation, we have a big range here, $400 to $700 million, but we expect it to be around $500 million. And to reiterate the importance of being able to do an issue in early in the year, 20-year municipal rates for the tollway are down around the 3.5% rate. As you can see from this graph, that's the lowest it's been in many, many years. I think back to the 50s is when rates were lower, possibly. And you can see that even relative to a few short years ago, that these rates are very, very attractive. So it's important that we receive approvals on our procurement and proceed with the first issue, and also look at trying to lock in some of the costs of some of the future bond issues.
And I think the other message that came across is that the financial integrity of the tollway means that our ratings are very strong, so we're likely to be able to go into the market both for this new financing as well as the refinancing of some of these other bonds. That was one of the things that we were asking the financial advisor yesterday. We could go in with that much, and they seemed very confident that we could still get good rates with a big entry into the market. So the market can want it. Thank you, Mayor. Directors, any questions? Concerns?
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. You may have also noticed a new but familiar face sitting around the table. I'm pleased to introduce Cassandra Rouse, who is our acting chief of internal audit and our current manager of internal audit. Cassandra has more than 15 years of experience in management consulting, business process improvement, and internal audit optimization. Prior to joining the tollway, she was the compliance auditor officer overseeing a $300 million ARRA stimulus grant for the Chicago Housing Authority. She has also has Big Four public accounting experience with Arthur Anderson and Ernst & Young, as well as internal audit experience with Fortune 500 companies, which include Exelon, J.P. Morgan Chase, and AT&T. She's a graduate of Howard University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the Institute of Internal Auditors. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tomorrow we will be participating in our annual news conference to talk about winter weather preparedness. It seems appropriate timing given the snowfall earlier this week. The Illinois Tollway has a variety of services to help drivers get to their destinations quickly and safely this winter season, including our traffic and incident management system, which coordinates roadway information through the use of roadway cameras, weather sensors, computer-aided dispatch for tollway maintenance in Illinois State Police District 15, as well as motorist phone calls. We have electronic message signs throughout our system, which communicate travel times and travel alerts to motorists during storm events. We have 1-800-TOLL-FYI, which is the toll-free telephone line with conditions on the Illinois tollway system. We have our help trucks, which provide assistance through changing tires, moving disabled vehicles from the roadway and providing gasoline or coolant for a nominal fee. We have STAR 999, which is a motorist assist program, which provides cellular phone users a quick and easy way to get help with disabled vehicles. Dispatchers contact the state police and roadway assistance services on this tollway, as well as IDOT expressways. As always, the tollway is fully prepared for winter weather. We have 182 plow trucks and other equipment, 200 plus employees per 12-hour shift, plow drivers, supervisors, mechanics, loaders, etc. 11 maintenance sites throughout our system, and the tollway began this winter season with a full supply of 84,000 tons of salt, 41,500 gallons of liquid calcium chloride, and 5,500 tons of roadway abrasives. So I think we are quite prepared, and this year we're joining with Governor Quinn and the Secretary of State, Jesse White, and other transportation and civic leaders to remind drivers about the dangers of distracted driving as well to keep our roads safe. finally, it gives me great pleasure to announce that the Tri-Level Bridge Project claimed the number 9 spot on Roads and Bridges magazine's list of top 10 bridges in North America. Congratulations. Bridges named to the top 10 list are chosen by the magazine's editorial staff based on project challenges, impact to region, and scope of work. As many of you know, the Tri-Level Bridge is one of the most complicated, heavily traveled interchanges on a tollway system, and yet we are able to overcome numerous challenges to complete a major rehab of this facility on time and within budget over the course of 2 construction seasons. It was a remarkable team effort. Engineering developed a great plan to execute the construction schedule in the most efficient, cost-effective way possible so that we could deliver the benefits of this project to our customers as quickly as possible. Business Systems came through with an inventive solution to make sure customers weren't charged twice after being detoured through a second toll booth they otherwise would not have encountered. Communications succeeded in getting the word out about ongoing construction activities to a wide range of customers, local communities, and impacted businesses. And Toll Operations represented the agency well, serving capably on the front lines of customer communications. Very proud that we were able to work on the Tri-Level Bridge, and I appreciate everyone who helped with this award-winning project. So, again, thank you. And then all we have.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comments from any of the board members? Okay, let's turn to the consent agenda. I have no indication of anybody who needs to recuse him or herself on any item before I go ripping through this. I want to make sure that that's right. Okay, well then let's start with 6.1, Business Systems. Any questions on that? And as we've mentioned, ad infinitum, these have been through the committee. There have been questions on them in great detail at the committee level. May I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstention? Procurement, I think we can take all of these together. So we can take 1 through 5 in procurement.
Motion approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, let's take engineering. I think we can take all these together as well. So we'll take 1 through 4.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, let's take legal. Is the last one of these going to be in executive session? So we can take 1 through 5. These were also discussed at the committee yesterday. And David, did you have any comments on the amounts on any of these?
No, Chair. Just with respect to number 1, we have TBD listed because this is for work potentially upcoming for a full interchange at Irene Road and I-90. It is not exactly clear what will ultimately be done, but this gets us prepped for the local municipalities to acquire the land that will be needed no matter what's done.
Okay. So we will know at some point what this cost is. We don't need to know that now.
Correct.
Okay, may I have a motion for 1 through 5, please?
Motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we will take up the 6th one in executive session. And then if we need action on it, we'll come back in the full board meeting. Is there any unfinished business? Any new business? We will take a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
We need David to read our...
Thank you, Chair. If we could please entertain a motion to move into executive session pursuant to certain exceptions of the Open Meetings Act, Sections 2C1, to discuss appointment of legal counsel, and Section 2C11, to discuss pending and potential litigation involving the tollway.
Thank you.
So moved.
Heard the motion. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Everybody have a safe and delicious Thanksgiving, and we will come back in the session if we need to take action, but for now, we'll be in executive session. Does trustees want to take a 5-minute break or keep on going? Let's keep going. Okay, thank you. We're going to take up item number 6 under legal 6.1. 6.4/6. David?
Yes, we would like a motion for the appointment of the Lanner Muchin Law Firm in Chicago to represent the tollway in a pending employment litigation matter, and to have certain attorneys within that firm appointed as special assistant attorney generals in the case.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Now we need a motion to adjourn the board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any objections? Any abstentions? Okay, I think it's a record today. Thank you very much. Happens if you move it up a week, there's not as much that can happen between the last board meeting and the next. Okay, thank you all very much. Have a good Thanksgiving. Thank you.